Luke chapter 5, John chapter 16. Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 16. And while you are turning there, let me say the honor has been ours to have been here this weekend. And what a wonderful church, what a great church. It truly has been our privilege to be here. And to your pastor and his wife and their family, we certainly, this weekend, we have grown to love and appreciate them so very much. Amen. Thank you for all of the kindness, the hospitality that's been shown to us. And I thank God that he has allowed our paths to cross. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And we are leaving better for it. Amen. Luke chapter 5, let's begin reading tonight with verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. John 16, verse 24, Jesus said, hitherto have ye asked nothing. Everybody say nothing. In my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I want to preach tonight for the next few moments from this subject. Don't settle for nothing. Don't settle for nothing. Amen. Would you set your Bibles down? Let's pray together. Jesus, I love you. I thank you, God, for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. I'm asking you now, in these next few minutes that we have together, that you would anoint me to preach your word. I pray you would anoint every heart to receive the word of God tonight. Let our hearts be open to you. I pray that your perfect will be done. We will forever give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. For you alone are worthy of it. We love you tonight, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. We read it in your hearing tonight. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Let me give that to you tonight in some various translations. One says, we worked hard all night. Another says, we labored all night. The Amplified Bible says, Master, we worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion, and caught nothing in our nets. Even when they caught nothing, they toiled all night. Even when they caught nothing, they labored all night. Even when they caught nothing, they worked hard all night, to the point of exhaustion. I want to begin tonight by telling you that I am preaching in defense of faithfulness. All right. I am preaching tonight in defense of you doing What you know to do is right, even if and when there are seemingly no results. God knows if there is one thing we lack in the world in which you and I live, and if there is one thing that we lack in our society in this day and hour, and consequently, if there is any one thing that we need, so desperately need, not only in our society, but also in the church, it is a spirit of faithfulness. It is a spirit of just doing what you know to do is right, regardless. In a world that is so wishy-washy, in a world that is like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind, I say on this Sunday night, God, give us faithful men. And God, give us faithful ladies. And God, give us faithful young men. And give us faithful young ladies. And give us faithful husbands and faithful fathers and faithful wives and faithful mothers and faithful saints and faithful ushers and faithful singers and faithful musicians and faithful preachers. I don't know about you tonight, but I have one ultimate end goal in life, and that is one day to stand before God and to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faithfulness is such a rare commodity nowadays. It's the exception and not the rule. It's in high demand. Faithfulness is in high demand. In fact, the wise man would say in Proverbs chapter 20, he would say, most men, the majority of men, many a man will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Right. If you were to take a poll tonight and you were to ask, most men would say that they are kind. Yeah. Most men, this is how various renditions put it, most men would say that they are loyal. Most men would say that they are merciful. The majority of men would say, you can trust me. Many a man would say, I'm your friend. Most men will say they are. Most men think they are. Most men want to believe that they are. But when it comes right down to it, and by men, I mean men and women. But when it comes right down to it, Solomon said, the sad reality is, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Why is that? Why is it so difficult to find a faithful man? I really don't know why. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I do know this. Faithfulness has no fanfare. Faithfulness doesn't make waves. We should, but we don't give accolades. If we do talk about it, and we don't talk about it often enough, but if we do talk about it, we often talk about it to address the lack thereof. I have found that faithful people typically fly below the radar. They don't draw attention to themselves. They usually don't want attention. Faithfulness is often quiet. Faithfulness performs behind the curtain. Faithfulness, oftentimes, it works in the shadows. If there was ever a need for men and women to be faithful, the need is now. The time is now. Not faithful because they seek recognition or reward. Not faithful because they are looking for the spotlight. Not faithful because they crave honor and the praise of men. But faithful because the work of God requires it. The work of God requires it. Faithful because the God we serve, He deserves it. It's that kind of faithfulness that builds a church. Can I preach to you tonight? It's that kind of faithfulness that builds a church. It's that kind of faithfulness, Elder Worth's, day after day, week after week, month after month, year in and year out, decade after decade. It's just common, ordinary people, not because they're forced, not because they're being cheerled, not because they're being coerced, but it's common, ordinary people, just day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, decade after decade of just being faithful. It's that which builds a growing, thriving, revival, apostolic church. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not interested in just ordinary church. I'm not interested in just average church. I'm not interested in just going through the ritual, going through the motions, going through the routine. I'm not interested in just coming to church on Sunday night at 6:30 and sitting on my pew and saying I'm here. That's not the kind of church I'm in. If that's what you want, then bless your heart. You'll find it somewhere. But I think I speak on behalf of this man of God, and I think I speak on behalf of the heart of this church when I tell you there is a church in Augusta that wants revival. There is a church in Augusta that wants miracles. There is a church in Augusta that wants the glory and the power and the presence of God. And what I'm telling you is that kind of church doesn't just happen. You don't show up at 6:30 and just have, or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm not saying you do, but I've just come to spark that fire tonight. You don't just show up on midweek Bible study at church time and just expect to have blow at church. That's not how it happens. It happens on the backs of faithfulness. I don't feel like it, but it's time to go to church and pray. I don't feel like it, but it's time to worship. I don't feel like it, but it's... One reason why is because true faithfulness is not subject to my feelings. My feelings can be fickle. My feelings can deceive me. My feelings can lead me astray. Regardless of how I feel, I'm still faithful. So I'm preaching tonight in defense of you just keeping on doing what you're doing. Not because there's a reward for it, but there is a reward for it. I'm not doing it because there's a reward for it. I'm doing it because it's just the right thing to do, regardless. But there is a reward for it. For the Apostle Paul would write and say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One translation said, so let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. At just the right time. And God knows you may think you know the right time, but God knows the right time. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Another said, let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap if we do not give in. I want to preach tonight to somebody who feels like you are doing everything that you know to do, and yet nothing is breaking. There is no give. There are no visible, measurable, exterior changes in your circumstance. You feel like Simon. You have toiled all the night, and you've toiled all the night, and you've taken nothing. When you pulled that net up after the first time and saw there was nothing, you cast it again, and you brought it up, and there was nothing.
And so you cast it again, and you brought it up, and there was nothing. And you cast it again, and you brought it up, and there was... I'm preaching to some Simons in this room tonight. You have toiled all the night, and you have taken nothing. You have been faithful. You've been faithful to the house of God. You have been faithful in prayer. You have been faithful in worship. You have been faithful in your giving. You have been faithful in your responsibilities in the kingdom of God. And yet it seems like nothing, nothing, nobody likes that word, nothing is happening. It seems like all your faithfulness is for naught. It has got you nowhere, and it has got you nothing. And the devil, who is the master exploiter, he knows exactly when to show up. He has shown up, and he has crawled up on your shoulder, and he is trying to convince you to give up and to quit and to throw in the towel. Look at it. Look at what your faithfulness has got you. It's got you nothing. Look what your faithfulness in prayer has achieved. It's achieved nothing. Look at what your faithfulness in worship, it has got you. It's got you nothing. And that's what the devil would like to convince you. But I've come on this Sunday night to remind somebody that the devil is still a liar. He is still the father of all lies. There is no truth in him. Can I tell you that when he shows up and tells you to quit and to give up and to throw in the towel, it's not going to happen. You just mark it down. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. There's not one thing he says that's the truth. He's the father of all lies. When he tells you it's not going to happen, you just mark it down. God is getting ready to do something. When he tells you you're never going to have revival, you just mark it down. We're on the verge of revival. When he tells you you'll never get your miracle, you just mark it down. God is getting ready to perform the miraculous. When he tells you you'll never see it, you just mark it down. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I don't know what God's getting ready to do, but I know it's big. I know it's great. I know it's mighty. Have you ever noticed in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon, the wisest man who has ever lived, he said to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And he didn't close it out by saying, etc., etc., etc. But he's about to give us 28 times for every purpose. He said there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There is a time to kill, and there is a time to heal. There is a time to break down, and there is a time to build up. There is a time to weep, and there is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn, and there is a time to dance. There is a time to cast away stones, and there is a time to gather stones together. He would say there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to sow and a time to reap. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. 28 different times. Solomon, the wise man, the preacher would say that there is a season and a purpose for under the heaven. But there is one thing that I have never seen a time for. There is a time to be born, yes. There is a time to die, yes. There is a time to weep, yes. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn. And there is a time to dance. There is a time to get. And there is a time to lose. But there is one thing that there is never, never, never under any circumstance is there ever a good time for. And ladies and gentlemen, that is, there is never a good time to quit. There is never a good time to backslide. There is never a good time to walk away. There is never a good time to throw in the towel. There is never a good time to give up. There is never a good time to say, what's the use?
The parallel equivalent of that would be the Apostle Paul, the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He would say, take on the whole. Everybody say the whole. He's about to give us the whole armor, the whole. He's not going to leave a piece out. This is the whole armor of God. He would say, make sure you've got on that helmet of salvation. Make sure you've got on that breastplate of righteousness. Make sure your loins are girt about with truth. Make sure your feet have been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Make sure you've got that shield of faith so you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And don't forget that offensive weapon. Don't forget that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He would say that's the whole armor of God. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's my loins girt about with truth. It's my feet shod. It's the shield of faith. And it's the sword of the Spirit. There is one area of the human body, the human anatomy, that he has left vulnerable. Do you recognize that? He has given us the whole armor, the whole armor of God, and yet he left one area completely exposed. And brothers and sisters, an arrow that pierces from the back is just as fatal as an arrow that pierces from the front. And yet he left the back exposed. He left the hinder parts exposed, and he did it for a reason, because the child of God was never meant to turn around and to walk backwards. The child of God, listen now, you don't retreat this way. That's not how you retreat. If you're going backwards, if you're retreating, you have made a 180 and you are walking backwards. The child of God was never meant to retreat. The child of God was never meant to give up. The child of God was never meant to throw in the towel. The child of God was never meant to surrender. I preach to you on this Sunday night. Come on, New Life. Come on, Augusta. It's not time to go backwards. It's not time to retreat. It's not time to give up. It's not time to settle for nothing. But there needs to be something on the inside that says I'm pressing. There needs to be something on the inside that says I'm pushing. I know I haven't seen it yet, but I'm not giving up. I'm pushing. I know it hasn't happened yet, but I'm not giving up. I'm pressing.
Because listen now, do you know who never has revival? Guaranteed. Never. It's those who give up. It never happens. He's just as much a good a steward of his resources as he wants you and I to be. He's not giving revival to those who turn around and go backwards. Do you know who never gets their miracle? It's those who give up. Do you know who never gets their blessing? It's those who give up. Never. Never, not one time. If it happens, it's the goodness of God leading men to repentance oftentimes. It's the exception and not the rule. But 99.9999% of the time, it never happens. You're never going to get your miracle given up. You're never going to get your victory quitting. You're never... That's an oxymoron. You're never going to get your victory quitting. You're never going to get your breakthrough waving the white flag. You're never going to get your healing by throwing in the towel. You're never going to get your deliver. You're never going to have revival by saying, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's not what gets you revival. There needs to be a spirit on the inside that rises up and says, I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. Believing. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to keep doing what I know to do is right. And that is why hell is doing his best to get you to quit. Don't be ignorant of his devices. You wonder why he's trying to get you to quit, give up, throw in the towel. Because he knows if you do, you've just thrown away your miracle. That's why he's fighting you. I feel a boldness tonight. I've come to pull back the lie of the enemy. I've come to expose the devil for who he is tonight. He's tried. I'm preaching right now in the Holy Ghost. He has tried to get you to quit and to give up. He's tried to get you to throw in the towel, to wave the white flag and surrender. And the reason why is because he knows if you do, you will never get what you need from God. You will never get complete and total victory. You will never get your breakthrough. You will never get your miracle. You will never get your deliverance. Knowing that, there ought to be something that gets on the inside that gets you Holy Ghost angry. That says, devil, you're a liar. Devil, I'm not quitting. Devil, I'm not giving up. Devil, I'm not throwing in the towel. Devil, I'm not walking away. But I'm going to pray like I've never prayed. I'm going to worship even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise God even when I'm tired in my body. I'm going to dance. I'm going to run. I'm going to shout. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to give God glory. Because at the right time, I've got a promise. I've got a promise. At the right time, at the proper time, in due season, I shall. Not may. I didn't make the promise. I don't have to back it up. I'm just preaching to you the word of the Lord tonight. It's his word. He's got to back it up. And can I tell you, he's not nervous about backing up his word. Never, not one time has he ever made a promise and not come through. He said, I'm telling you, if you will do it and you will not get weary in well-doing, in due season, you're going to reap. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm ready to reap. I'm ready to reap. I'm ready to reap a revival. I'm ready to reap a harvest. I'm ready to reap backs. We did it this morning. I'm ready to reap more backsliders. I'm ready to reap miracles. I'm ready to reap the glory of God. I'm ready to reap blessing. I'm ready to reap favor. I'm ready to reap deliverance. And I've got a promise. If I won't get weary in well-doing, in due season, I'm going to reap. Here's the essence of what I'm preaching tonight. I want you to hear this. I was listening here a while back to a book on Audible. I heard this statement made, and it resonated. A man named Jacob Riis, he was a Danish-American photographer, a journalist. He was born in 1849, I believe it was. He died 1914. I want you to catch this right now. You've got to catch this. He said, when nothing seems to help, I go and I look at a stone cutter hammering away at the rock. Perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 100th and first blow, he said, that rock, it's going to split in two. And he said, I know. It was not that 101st blow that did it. But it was the casting my net, nothing. Casting my net, nothing. Casting my net, nothing. Casting my net, and nothing. He says, I know. It wasn't that 101st blow that just magically, I just happened to hit it at the right place. He said, I'm not a fool to realize that it wasn't that 101st blow that did it. But it was the 100 times before of just swinging the hammer. And nothing, visibly nothing happening. Just swinging the hammer. And it didn't look like on the exterior that anything was crumbling and cracking and breaking. And it didn't. So I swung it again. And I swung it that 5th time. And nothing. And I swung it that 10th time. And I swung it that 20th time. And I swung it that 30th time. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I swung it that 40th. And I swung it that 50th. And I swung it that 70th. And I swung it that 90th. And still on the outside, nothing. It looked like nothing was happening. The exterior of the rock, it looked just as strong as it did when I swung that hammer on the 1st time. But what was happening on the inside was that rock was crumbling. What was happening on the inside was that rock was breaking down. What was happening on the inside was that rock was falling in. What was happening on the inside was that rock was weakening. And I didn't give up. And I didn't give up. And I didn't. I know I've done this. And the casual passerby would say, you might as well give up. That rock is stronger than you are. You might as well quit. You're never going to crack the rock. You might as well just throw in the towel. It's never going to happen. But I know with each swing, that rock on the inside, it's falling apart. And I swung it 100 times and nothing happened. But I swung that hammer 101 times. And when I did, the rock split. I preach to you, saint of God, don't give up. I preach to you, saint of God, don't quit. I preach to you, new life. You just keep being faithful. You just keep doing what you know to do is right. Revival, it's here. Miracles are here. The glory of God, it's here. Oh, Jesus.
just can't give up. I just can't give up. I just can't give up. I keep coming to church. I keep praying. I keep worshiping. Knowing, children of Israel, you walk around those walls. You want to talk about a rock? You walk around those walls once a day for 6 days, and you don't say anything. And on that seventh day, you walk around those walls 6 times. And the casual passerby, there were some inhabitants of Jericho looking back and saying, "What are you doing? There's nothing splintering. There's nothing cracking. There's nothing splitting. But children of Israel, you just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. If you give up on the third day, it's never going to happen. If you give up on the fifth day, it's never going to happen. If you give up on the sixth day, it's never going to. If you give up on the first time around on the seventh day, it's never going to happen. I know on the exterior, there are no visible, measurable changes in the circumstance. There are no visible, measurable changes to the situation. That's why you don't go off of what you see and what you know. It doesn't look like anything's going to happen. Those walls look just as impenetrable today as they did when we started. But what you don't know is on the inside, they're crumbling. On the inside, they're falling apart. They're just waiting on you to make that seventh trip around on that seventh day and to lift your voice and to shout, because the walls, new life, they're coming down. The walls, they're coming down. Hakayashato Hashata Hayata Hamamahayokoyata Hatakayoto Shakayata Hakayo Shata Kayata. Kayoto Shakaya la 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 haya kayata. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Elder Verbal Bean would say, he would say that there are right now prayers, and then there are what we would call memorial prayers. Or can I put it in our vernacular today? Like lay away type prayers. Go down to Walmart and say, "I want to buy that bicycle, but I can't pay for it all today. Will you hold it for me? And I'll be by, and every Friday I'll put a little bit more money down." So I put a little money down that day, and I come back the next week and I put a little more money down, and I'm going home without the bike. I'm going home without the bike. But I've put a little bit of money down, but I'm going home without the bike. So I come back the next Friday and I put a little bit more money down, and I'm going home without the bike. I go put a little bit more money down the next Friday, but I'm going home without the bike. And I ask, how much more do I owe? And I realize next Friday I'm making that last payment. And I walk in on that Friday and I make that final payment. And that clerk takes that stamp in red letters. She punches that receipt. And she says, "This bike is paid in full." And I go home that day with the bike. And that's what it's like living for God sometimes. There's right now stuff. And we love that. We love that. We love that. But I think we'd see a whole lot more if we wouldn't give up after the first time or the second time or the third time.
I pray in the Sunday night that there would be a spirit that gets a hold of this church that would say, we're coming back. We're coming back. It didn't happen tonight, but I'm coming back Wednesday night. And it may not happen Wednesday night, but I'm coming back Sunday morning. And it may not happen Sunday morning, but I'm coming back Sunday night. And I'm not going to sit there and do nothing, but I'm going to give God my everything. I'm going to give him everything, just like as if it were happening. I'm going to give him everything. I'm going to give him all my praise. I'm going to give him all my worship. I'm going to give him all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. And I've come to tell you, when you do, there's coming a day. There's coming, and I'm preaching to somebody tonight. It's not going to be very much longer. There's coming a day. He's going to say, that miracle, it is paid in full. That healing is paid in full. That revival is paid in full. That deliverance is paid in full. Let's everybody stand. Let's everybody stand. So what are you doing? I'm just casting my net. I'm just casting my net. I'm just casting my net. I pull it up. There's nothing. That's okay. I'm casting my net. I'm casting my net. I'm pulling it up. There's nothing. I'm casting my net. I'm casting my net. There's nothing. I'm casting my net. There's nothing. But there's coming a day that here he comes. What you doing, boys? What you doing? We're washing nets. Why don't you launch out? Let me teach for a little while. Now, why don't you take the nets and cast them on the other side? Master, we have toiled, we have labored. We have worked hard to the point of exhaustion. We've cast these nets 100 times last night, and there was nothing. And Jesus shows up and says, I know. I know. Why don't you do it one more time? I know you've done it 100 times. Why don't you try that 101st? See what happens. And they said, okay, at thy word. Because you said it. Because you said at the proper time. At the right time. In due season. We're going to reap. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm ready to reap. I'm ready. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll cast those nets. And they did. And you know what happened? The nets began to break. They saw their buddies. Hey, 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 hey. Fishing's good right here. They cast their nets. They began to break. And before that day was over, I heard one preacher say they had a net breaking, boat sinking revival. Before that day was over, they had net breaking, boat sinking miracles. Before that day was over, they had net breaking, boat sinking deliverances. Before that day was over, they had net breaking, boat sinking victory. Because there was something on the inside that said, we're not giving up. We're not giving up. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful. We're not giving up. Because listen now, Augusta doesn't need another dead church. Augusta doesn't need another lifeless church. Augusta doesn't need another church that just goes through the motions. But you know what Augusta needs? They need a a thriving, revival, apostolic church. They need a church where the drug addict can come and get delivered. They need a church where the alcoholic can come and get delivered. They need a church where the marriage that's falling apart can come and be put back together. They need a church where the depressed can come and leave with joy. They need a church. They need a church that preaches truth. They need a church that worships God in spirit and in truth.
And that falls on you and I on this Sunday night, saying, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Man of God, just keep preaching revival. We're with you. Man of God, just keep preaching about backsliders. We're with you. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep giving. Would you lift your voices and lift your hands right now? Is there anybody that wants to accept the challenge? Is there anybody that wants to accept the challenge on a Sunday night? I'm going to keep being faithful in due season. In due season. My season's coming. My season's coming. My time is coming. I'm going to reap. I'm going to reap. I'm going to reap.